Welcome, my friends. You know, it's hard to believe that in a few days we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. And I know that many are deeply saddened that this year's holidays won't be the same as we've come to know them. Yet even in times of hardship, even in times that challenge us and stretch us thin, we do have so much to be thankful for. So let's turn now to God as we open with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we confess that this is a challenging time for us. But just as you've brought our ancestors through difficult times, just as you've sustained generations before us, we have the assurance that you are always by our side, and we are grateful. Be with us now as we gather to worship you. Keep us ever centered in you and your purpose for us. And give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to follow wherever you lead. We thank you for the kindness and generosity of our church family, and we pray that all might be blessed, even as they are a blessing. May each one feel the love that can't be broken by time or distance. In his name we pray. Amen. Now let's welcome Nathan Drake.
This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin.
From Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Hear God's word. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he'll sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. And then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you? And then the king will say, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. And then he'll turn to the goats, the ones on the left, and say, get out, you worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison and you never visited. Then those goats are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help? And he will answer them, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it for me. Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Do you ever play those puzzles that challenge you to find something in a picture? Something that initially seems invisible until you look really hard? I confess, I find them quite intriguing. And it continually amazes me how much there is going on around us all the time that we can be totally unaware of, that we just don't even see. Like just the other morning, I was up early, and as I raised the blinds in the kitchen, what do I see looking out the window but a 6-point buck nibbling under the bird feeder just right there in front of me? It was amazing. And it could have been so easy for me to have missed it. Well, every time I read this passage, it reminds me just how much we don't see, and also how much we may not want to see. Granted, we all lead busy lives, and often our minds are going a million miles a minute. And with this pandemic in particular, we also live in a time of fear and unknowns and anxiety, with everyone scrambling and trying to be wise in the process. And it can feel pretty overwhelming and hard to know exactly what to do. And exactly how can we help others right now when we feel like we can barely help ourselves? But those fearful thoughts can actually be a trap. As Paul J. Waddell reminds us, anxiety's central message is that we cannot afford to share because we never have enough. Put more strongly, he says, in a culture marked by anxiety and fear, the very things that we have traditionally called sins or vices, like hoarding, greed, suspicion, become wise and prudent virtues. Fear rather than love governs our lives. But such fear is a kind of idolatry because it suggests that we're giving more attention to our own security than we're giving to God. And the surprising way out of that fear and that despair and anxiety, taking the time to really see and care for others. Because it's in those acts of kindness that love wins over fear. that trust wins over suspicion, and even risk wins over security. Granted, it's not easy to put into action. And many of you have no doubt seen, for example, those long lines of literally thousands of cars lined up trying to get food from the food banks down in Texas, for example, just one example. The need right now can feel so overwhelming. And the thought that typically comes to mind is, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'm just barely holding it together myself. But as Mother Teresa reminds us, she said, I never look at the masses as my responsibility. I look at the individual. I can love only one person at a time. I can feed only one person at a time. So you begin with one. If I didn't pick up that one person, I wouldn't have picked up 42,000. My whole work is only a drop in the ocean. But if I didn't put the drop in, the ocean would be one drop less. And it all starts with gratitude, with thankfulness, with a recognition of the many ways that we have been blessed. Whenever I start to feel fearful or anxious, all I have to do is look back on not one, not two, but on literally hundreds and hundreds of times, all during my lifetime, over and over again, that I have been brought through literally impossible situations by the grace of God and the generosity of others who saw me in my need. And it makes me want all the more to find ways to pass it on. One of the things I really miss about our not being able to have our community Thanksgiving feast this year is that Thanksgiving truly is about thanks and giving. And what a very fitting prelude to the start of the Advent season. So maybe now is not a bad time to think back and hear that classic Leo Tolstoy story of the cobbler and his guest, which goes something like this. There once lived in the city of Maasai an old shoemaker, loved and honored by his neighbors, who affectionately called him Father Martin. And one Christmas Eve, as he sat alone in his little shop, reading of the visit of the wise men to the infant Jesus and of the gifts they brought, he said to himself, if tomorrow were the first Christmas, and if Jesus were born in Maasai, this night, I know what I would give him. He rose from his stool and he took from a shelf overhead two tiny shoes of softest snow-white leather with bright silver buckles. I would give him those, my finest work. Replacing the shoes, he blew out the candle and he retired to rest. Hardly had he closed his eyes, it seemed, when he heard a voice call his name. Martin, Martin. Intuitively, he felt a presence. And then the voice spoke again. Martin, you've wished to see me. Tomorrow, I shall pass by your window. And if you see me and bid me enter, I shall be your guest at your table. Father Martin did not sleep that night for joy. And before it was yet dawn, he rose and swept and tidied up his little shop. He spread fresh sand upon the floor and breathed green boughs of fir among the rafters. On the spotless linen-covered table, he placed a loaf of white bread, a jar of honey, and a pitcher of milk. And over the fire, he hung a pot of tea. And then he took up his patient vigil at the window. Presently, he saw an old street sweeper pass by, blowing upon his thin, gnarled hands to warm them. Poor fellow, he must be half frozen, thought Martin. Opening the door, he called out to him, come in, my friend. Warm up and drink a cup of hot tea. And the man gratefully accepted the invitation. An hour passed, and Martin saw a young, miserably clothed woman carrying a baby. And she paused wearily to rest in the shelter of his doorway. The heart of the old cobbler was touched, and quickly he flung open the door. Come in and warm while you rest, he said to her. You do not look well, he remarked. I'm going to the hospital. I hope they will take me in and my baby boy, she explained. My husband is at sea, and I am ill without a soul. Poor child, cried Father Martin. You must eat something while you're getting warm. No? Then let me give a cup of milk to the little one. Oh, what a bright, pretty fellow he is. Why, you have no shoes put on him. I have no shoes for him, sighed the mother sadly. Then I shall have this lovely pair I finished yesterday. And Father Martin took down from the shelf the soft little snow-white shoes he admired the evening before. He slipped them on the child's feet, and they fit perfectly. Shortly, the poor young mother left, two shoes in her hand, and tearful with gratitude. And Father Martin resumed his post at the window. Hour after hour went by, and although many people passed his window, and many needy souls shared his hospitality, the expected guest did not appear. It was only a dream, he sighed with a heavy heart. Perhaps I did not believe, and so he has not come. Suddenly, or so it seemed to his weary eyes, the room was flooded with a strange light. And to the cobbler's astonished vision, there appeared before him, one by one, the poor street sweeper, the sick mother and her child, and all the people whom he'd aided during the day. And each smiled at him and said, "Have you not seen me? Did I not sit at your table?" And then they vanished. And at last, out of the silence, Father Martin heard again the gentle voice repeating the old familiar words. Whosoever shall receive one such in my name receiveth me. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was athirst, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, ye have done it unto me. Question for each of us right now. How do we wish to be among? How do we wish to be thought of and remembered? Do we wish to be among the sheep? Or do we wish to be among the goats? Do we choose to live in fear? Or do we choose to live in faith? As St. Mother Teresa said, I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this and do that, but now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. My friends, let us pray for eyes to truly see our Lord wherever our Lord appears, and the desire to do his will, the desire to help others, as God continues to help us. Let us pray. Oh, dear shepherd of our soul, we come to you with humbled hearts, asking forgiveness for our sins and shortcomings. We too pray that you will guide us to do whatever we're supposed to do, and that you'll give us the strength and desire to do it. We too pray that prayer will change us, and that we might be your instruments for change. We confess that too often we have not seen our neighbor, far less loved them as ourselves. Forgive us, we pray, and restore us to perfect union with your will and purpose. By your Spirit, empower us to render our offerings of time, of service, of devotion, and tithes from the sincerity of our hearts. We pray this in the name you have set above all names, Jesus our Christ. Amen. And now let us continue in prayer with Jill Duffield.
Lord God, we bow in prayer. humbled by the reality that you want to spend time with us. You long to be in relationship with us. You receive us and care for us no matter where we have been, what we have done, or how often we have neglected your will. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us, such grace beyond our comprehension. We rest in your compassionate presence, freed from sin and alive to the transformation you promise. Awed by your mercy and kindness, we seek to respond with bold faith. Strengthen our resolve to follow where Christ leads and obey his commandment to love. In a world overflowing with anger and division, send us to be ambassadors of reconciliation. In the wake of injustice and pain, use us as instruments of righteousness and healing. As creation groans for relief, make us bearers of hope and catalysts for life-giving change. When our faith is tested and we do not feel up to the demands of discipleship, remind us that you provide. Help us to remember the ram in the thicket, the manna in the desert, the water from the rock, and the feeding of the 5,000. Send your Holy Spirit to spark our imagination and embolden our witness so that none of your little ones are hungry or thirsty. Free from sin and alive in Christ Jesus, we pray without reserve for those people and places, circumstances and situations that weigh on our hearts and minds this day. We ask you to provide healing for the sick. We look to you to ease the suffering of those hurting in body, mind, and spirit. We plead on behalf of the long oppressed and for those still waiting for justice. We yearn for you to guide all of those in positions of leadership to make decisions that will reflect your will. We rest in your compassionate presence, freed from sin, alive, and awaiting the transformation you promise. We make our prayer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, there's no question that these holidays will be quite different from the ones we've known in the past. But that doesn't mean that there won't be beauty and goodness in them. Know that God has not forgotten us, and he is with us. The question is that we must not forget God, and we must continue to try to see him in each person we meet, spreading that love, but not the virus. And now, may you go in God's love, God's strength, and God's mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you. May your Thanksgiving be blessed.